Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and we are back for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir, here always with the beautiful and talented Sherry Peng. Sherry, how are you doing this week?
Pretty good, Jason. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Just been super lazy this weekend. What have you been up to?
Oh, I've just been working, and this is really the first weekend I have not been traveling. I've been on tour. Oh, my gosh, it seems like forever to last, at least 6 weeks anyway. It's been crazy. It's a good kind of crazy, and, you know, I've been really touching a lot of people, you know, in my shows and that kind of thing. So it's been wonderful. And like I said, this is the very first weekend I'm actually taking a weekend off, and I'm back on the road next week. So, yeah, life is good, and I feel really blessed, and, you know, life, I don't have any complaints. Knock on wood and pray to God we're all going to be good.
Yeah, I don't either. Things have been pretty relatively stable, and just catching up on some sleep this weekend, but nothing too terribly exciting going on. But you got us a great returning guest this week.
Yes. Bill Bean, he is, oh my gosh, I mean, when I had him send the bio, it was so lengthy, I was like, I was in shock. I mean, he's been on numerous TV shows from hauntings, and I just can't name how many TV shows, let alone how many radio interviews, but he is also an exorcist. He's a deliverance minister. And he helps people with his personal story. I think he's going to help share with that. But he helps people that have had problems with demons and things like that. So I'd like to know a little bit more on how he does that. And it's going to be interesting to have him, you know, talk with us. And I did spoke with him, a couple days ago on the phone. And he was really excited to come back. So it's good to have him back. Is he on cue yet?
He is. We'll go ahead and bring him in right now.
Okay. We'll just bring him on. Yay.
Hey, Bill.
Hi, Jason. Hi, Sherry. How are you guys?
Hey, Bill. Nice for you to come back on our show.
It's my honor.
Yeah.
Pleasure to be back with both of you.
Yeah, it's great to get you back on. It's been a little while.
Yeah, it's been way too long, and it's great to be back, and, you know, things are so busy that life becomes a blur after a while. So it's good that it circles back a little bit and I can be back with you guys again.
Yeah, well,
that's
we sure
great,
are excited.
Bill.
Yeah,
yes,
we're sure excited to get you back.
Oh, thank you so much. And you know, things are, again, things are super, super busy. I travel all over the country every week, and I also do international Skype sessions. I've helped so many people in so many different countries. It's just amazing. And I praise God for all of it. This is the calling that God has put on my life. I do not do this on my own accord. It is not my power. It is the power of God that works through me to help these people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you do a great service. So Sherry kind of gave you a brief intro, and it's been a while since you've been on the show, so I was hoping maybe if we have some listeners out there that maybe aren't familiar with you, you could give kind of a more in-depth bio about, you know, who you are, what you do.
Absolutely. We'll start from the start. You know, my life started as being a victim. I've written 3 books, and in the first book, which is called Dark Force, I talk about the events that happened in my childhood. And my family and I lived in a home located in Glenbury, Maryland, and in a community called Herondale. And it was a small ranch-style home. And I was 4 years old when we moved there. And I knew right away, I could feel that something was not right with the place. It sat at the bottom of a downhill cul-de-sac and had a very large and deep ravine behind it. And you could just feel, I mean, even at the age of 4, I was frightened. I knew something was wrong. Something was off. And so my mom was the first to have an experience in the house. And it had taken place while she was unpacking and organizing. So my dad had taken us. My dad, William Dean Sr., had taken us, and I have an older sister and a younger brother. And he had taken us with him for the day to allow my mother, Patricia Bean, to unpack and organize in the house without us, being under her feet. So it was during the course of this that she felt the presence come into the room. And in her mind, she thought that was my dad sneaking in to play a joke. And she spun around, and she was anticipating on seeing him, and to her shock and surprise, nothing was there. So she was unnerved by this, taken aback, and eventually able to collect herself and go back to doing what she was doing. And then my sister's bedroom door slammed shut by itself, and that was enough to make her go outside and wait until we returned. So that's where it began, and the house was equally as ominous and foreboding on the inside. It was very dark. There was dark brown paneling on the walls. For anyone who wants to see pictures of the house, or there are a few shots of the inside, you can visit BillBeanMinistries.com or BillBean.net, click on the photos, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And so the house was very dark, even on the brightest of days, and it had a very heavy feel atmospherically. You know, the air was very heavy. And just a very, very negative vibe. And you would enter into the house through the front door, and you would come into a living room, and you would make, if you went straight ahead, you would go into a dining room, and then a small kitchen was located off the dining room. And the back door was also located off of the dining room. But if you went from the front door in the living room, about midway, you would make a right down a long hallway, and the hallway had tile. It's a tiled floor, hard tile, and we would often hear footsteps. I would be laying in bed in the middle of the night, you know, hearing footsteps coming down the hallway, these hard-soled shoes or boots coming down the hallway, and it would reverberate off of that the paneled walls, so that dark brown paneling, and just horrific things happened from, you know, the initial thing, the initial experience that my mom had. You know, this stuff gradually escalated into violent physical attacks on us from these demonic entities, and it greatly contributed to the destruction of my family.
Wow, that sounds terrifying, and I know exactly what you're talking about when the air feels heavy. I've been in places like that where you just, like, walk in, and it's like walking into an invisible wall, and it's really uncomfortable. So I totally get. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and so what happens, you know, and it, being where I am now and understanding how all this works, these demonic entities feed off of fear. So when you have these events that begin to take place, it is creating fear and confusion, and a cavalcade of negative emotions, and that's exactly what the devil and demons feed off of. You know, the fear, they are attracted to the pineal gland, which is the fear gland. When that's opened up, you know, through fear, these demons are drawn to it like a magnet. And so that is the design of the attack. It is bully tactics, and it is to create an atmosphere of fear in hopes of isolating a person. And if that doesn't work, the isolation of a person, then the plan shifts to putting the whole family in chaos and fear. And that's exactly what was happening. And, you know, back to the beginning of this, my mom, who suffered more than any other person I've ever seen in my life. I've seen a lot of suffering, and I have had a lot of suffering in my life. And my mother has suffered far more than anyone I've ever known or seen. And she would make the beds in the mornings, come back, you know, several minutes later, and they would be torn apart. There would be raps and taps on the walls, like someone was taking a finger and flicking on the pound walls, and then sometimes it sounded like someone was taking a fist and pounding on the walls. The TV set, which back then you didn't have remote control, we had this big bulky TV set in the living room that had the channel selector dial, you know, so you'd have to press a button in, and you would have to turn that heavy channel selector, and that required some effort to turn the channels. And back then there were only a few channels, and so something would turn that TV on and flip the dial effortlessly. Just amazing. We'd have foul odors that would manifest out of nowhere, and then you would have activity that take place, you know, as the odor is manifesting or right after it manifested. Our pets were being affected. Some of the pets mysteriously died or went mad. So you name it, it happened. And I was thankful to be able to write about it in Dark Force. I was also thankful to the A Haunting series, who first contacted me back in December of 2005. Seems like such a long time ago. It's amazing how fast time goes these days. But they had gotten wind of the story. They contacted me, and they wanted to do the story in their new TV series, which it debuted in season 2 of the A Haunting series. And it aired, the episode aired on September 7th, 2006. And to this day, it's one of the most watched and rebroadcasted episodes in the history of the series. I am the only person in the history of the series to have a reoccurring role, because I've been back, you know, 6 other times in 6 other episodes as a deliverance minister / exorcist based on my case files. And I'm very grateful to them for airing the story.
And Bill, you do this full time. This is not something you do part time or as a hobby, correct?
Correct. Yeah, this is my full time job, and it's just amazing, Sherry. It really is, because I'm always traveling. I just got back, and we'll talk about that in a little while, about where I came from. One of the most severe cases that I've been involved in to date took place this past Friday night, October 27th, and we'll get into that. But I constantly travel, and when I am home, I'm constantly answering messages from people from all over the world. Phone calls never stop, text, emails. So it is a very arduous task, but it is what God has called me to do, and I will continue to do it for as long as He will call me to do it, and as long as I have a breath in my body, I will continue to do it. It's the greatest thing in the world to know what your purpose in life is, and though it can be dangerous at times, and it can be very risky, but for someone like me, I must stay in total faith, strength, and courage, so I do not have any fear of anyone or anything. And I praise God for that, and it's His power that protects me and works through me. So He does make the impossible possible, and I was in a pretty impossible situation this past Friday night, but God worked it out, and He wins again. So, but what I'm saying about the beginning, you know, growing up in that environment of the fear and trauma that was upon us, and I suffered my first demonic attack at the age of 5, and those attacks went on for years, and so I was very much a victim, and in a fear-based, trauma-based way for my entire childhood, and even going into my teen years. I mean, I had tremendous amounts of trauma and lived through some horrific things, and so it's amazing that God would take someone like me, who was on the total opposite end, you know, coming from the fear-based, trauma-based way of living and thinking, and transforming me into this powerful warrior for His glory, and to go out and help others, is truly a miracle, and I'm so very thankful for it. And as bad as my life was then, my life is even better now. I'm more blessed. I'm so thankful for it. But I can recall times it was so bad in there that if my mom and I were alone in the house and she had to use the bathroom, then I would sit outside the door and wait until she came out. That's how bad it was. That's how much fear was taking place. But I suffered
attacks. How
long attacks.
Did you stay there?
We lived in that house, and, you know, it really didn't hit me until I started writing the book. And then I had to relive those events and put myself back into that. We lived in that house for 10 years, and we suffered for 10 years, and especially the violent physical attacks really started taking place on a regular basis the last 5 years, from 1975 to 1980, and that was because my father had left us in 1975. So my father, William Bean Sr., was a very strong man. He was a man's man. He was definitely a man that was in charge of things and was always in control. And it was so sad and tragic for him that, you know, this was an individual. He was blessed with tremendous capabilities and skills, and was definitely a winner in life, but his life ended so sad and tragically, and neither of my parents lived to see the age of 50, and my dad was a contractor at the time, but he was had the ability to be successful at anything he wanted to do, and so this was a person that I saw as a heroic figure. And I very much wanted to be like him. But he began to have attacks as well. And seeing things and also being physically attacked. And again, this was a man that was used to being in control of every situation. He suddenly found himself in a situation that he was not able to be in control. And my family... my parents believed in God, but we didn't have any religious background. We had never attended church as children. We were never baptized. We didn't have any of those things. And so there was nowhere to turn. You didn't have people like me back then. You didn't even have the, you know, the ghost hunter organizations or anything like that. There was no one like that. And they didn't have a church to turn to. So he, in my opinion, in retrospect, really looking back on this, I feel that he began to try and escape reality by drinking very heavily, and he turned into a raging alcoholic who began to physically abuse my mother with vicious beatings between 1973 and 1975. And he nearly killed her on several occasions. I can recall being 8 years old, having to run out of the house to a neighbor's to get the police called on my own father because, you know, he was absolutely killing my mother. And so I have no doubt, based on what I witnessed, that while under the influence of alcohol, because we as human beings, we all operate on frequency and vibration. So when our frequency and vibration is high, life is generally good. Things are positive, and we are moving forward. But when we are on low frequency, low vibration, life sucks, and there's a black cloud, and nothing ever goes right. There's always a problem, a situation, a drama, and never an answer. So when we are under the influence of alcohol or a drug, I feel that it lowers our frequency and vibration, and that makes us wide open for demonic attacks. And I think that's what was happening to him in his case. And so, yes, he was a willing participant in making the choice to drink the alcohol. But I really do believe that while under the influence, these demonic forces were able to manipulate him to carry out these attacks. And it is miraculous that he didn't kill my mother. It truly is. So
this
is part of her
suffering. That's a quick question.
Sure.
Do you believe that when a person's under the influence – is it something that, you know, whether a person drinks occasionally or a person just, you know, gets drunk? Are they open
yeah.
to just attack
it's,
or
it's
either
a,
way?
Well, it's a person who's getting drunk. So there are people out there who are social drinkers, and there's nothing wrong with that because, again, life is all about balance. And if people are having a few drinks, that's fine as long as it is not crossing the line to where now they are drunk, they're under the influence. Because how many times have you heard, and I know I've heard it many, and I was also one of these people because you know, in my teen years, going into my adult years, I was a very heavy drinker and a very violent drunk as well. And so I understand this. And, you know, I've heard many times over the years from different people, what did I do last night? What did I say last night? What, you know, so this person became under the influence, and they don't have any recollection of anything that they did or said. So, again, this is where the spiritual aspect enters in, to where when the person is inebriated and they are, you know, in that state and their frequency and vibration is lowered, bad things can happen, and these demonic forces can come in and push buttons and manipulate, and the person, some people would have done things that, you know, people would say there's no way that person could ever do such a thing. Well, when you're in a state like that, you know, all bets are off. And so I hated my father very much, very strongly for many years because of those things and other things. And I'm thankful that I was able to forgive him before his untimely death. So he left us in 1975. And thank God, because had he not left, I'm convinced he would have killed my mother. So when he left us in such a horrible way, and I'm sorry to say it, and I'm not trying to bash my father. I love my father, and I forgive him for everything. And he was just a victim like us. And so, but when he left us in such a horrible way that we had to go on welfare. My mother had to go on welfare, and it was very humbling and embarrassing for her. She was very ashamed by it, and so we were struggling mightily, you know, financially, just to make it. So, I mean, having food and clothing and the daily necessities became a real challenge. So you couple that with the supernatural aspect of daily torments, whether it is through physical attack or some type of manifestation or some type of ungodly exhibition from these entities, you know, you're talking about major trauma, major pain, major suffering. And so after my dad's departure, my mother came under regular physical attack from these demonic entities from 1975 up until really her untimely death, which was in 1981. So neither of my parents lived to see the age of 50. My mother died at the age of 44 from a cerebral hemorrhage, and my dad was shot to death at the age of 48. I've had many other mysterious family deaths as well. Most of my family is gone. And so there was certainly something at work here. And then I found out after I'd written Dark Force that this story goes much further back than I thought. So in Dark Force, I say that it all began in 1970 when we moved into that house. So that's not entirely true. I found out that some family members many, many, many years ago actually conjured up these demonic forces. And so those demonic forces came onto the family and created a variety of damage and untimely deaths and just tragic circumstances. And then I found out that my mother and her siblings had paranormal supernatural experiences in their childhoods. And then I found out that my mother actually lived with her family in that very area of the Glen Burnie, Herondale area, prior to us moving into that house. So she already had exposure to the area. And so I've often said that this just wasn't evil that had come upon the family. Yes, that was part of it. But I feel that we were led to that house by the demonic forces that have been conjured and that were upon the family. We were led to that house where evil was already present and manifest. And so the entire area is very, very dark, very negative. I have been back to the area as a deliverance minister for several families who were in need of my services. And so it still has the same feel and vibe. So I feel that it all stems from, in part, Native Americans that were a part of the land there. I feel that there's an Indian burial ground located that one spot, and I write talk about it in the book, in the ravine, not too far away from where our house was. And then there's another interesting landmark, which is located about 2 miles south from the house, in the middle of the woods, and it is called the Wishing Rock. And this thing's about 3 stories high, and it just looks like this gigantic boulder that doesn't fit with anything else there. It was like it was placed there. And a friend of mine, John D. Romine, who was a retired police officer and was a police officer in the area and lived in the area, and he and his family also suffered from paranormal supernatural occurrences in his home, and he was aware of the things that were taking place in the home that we lived in and other homes in the area as well. So he ended up writing a book and doing, you know, extensive research into not only its case files but the area. And he feels, and I also feel, that it's a real possibility that this Wishing Rock structure is the gateway or the vortex or the stargate or doorway or whatever it may be, the dimensional doorway, for these entities to come through and affect the area. So I can absolutely believe it. And whatever the case may be, I know that many families have been affected, and there are many who continue to be affected to this day by paranormal supernatural activity taking place there. So it was hellish, to say the least. I'm so far removed from it now, it's almost like it happened to somebody else, but it did happen. And I feel that I couldn't be here now in being who I am, God working through me to deliver people from evil, had I not been there. So it was a necessary part of the journey, a preparation process. And so for me to be able to help others, and this goes for anyone, if you have been there and you have the experience, then you can relate and the person will trust. As you guys know, when people have, when they've suffered traumatic events, whatever that may be, and a lot of the cases that I've dealt with, you know, stems from child molestation or rapes, you know, just horrific traumatic abuse. And when people have suffered trauma on that level, they don't easily trust and they don't easily open up to others. But I truly feel that God has gifted me and blessed me in this way to come into someone's house that is suffering in this way, and the person knows that I have suffered, they know about me and they know my story, then they can relate to me. And it's easy for them to let the wall down and the guard down and open up, because I'm every bit as much of a counselor as I am a deliverance minister / exorcist, because it's a process. And when I go to these places, the first thing I do is I say a lamb blessing. And then I go into the home and anoint everybody's heads with a combination. I call it a holy mix, and it's a combination of holy water, holy oil, and holy salt. And then I say several prayers at the front door, including a house blessing prayer. And then I sit down with the victim or victims or family or whoever's being affected. We have to talk. And as part of that talk, I have to know. It's not that I want to know, but I have to know all the deep and dark secrets. I have to know everything that has taken place, because the devil deals in legalities. So if he feels he has a legal right to be there, God will allow him to be there because of free will. So it is my job to get the victim or victims to dredge this stuff up again so we can get it up, out, and off and purge it and break all legal rights that the devil has. And that is part of the preparation process for me to engage in spiritual warfare against these demonic forces and God working through me to get rid of them.
Do you find that there are times where they're just not one, but maybe a few? Or the devil and his henchmen?
Absolutely, no question about it. And that certainly, you know, was part of my own history and case, that there were several demons present there. And I find that, as a matter of fact, the most recent case, which was this past last Friday night, October 27th, there were several demons there in that case. So, yes. And I have to tell you guys, I feel that more and more demons are being loosed on the earth for a few reasons. And this is why I'm so busy now, and my case files continue to grow and grow and grow, because so many people are being affected.
What opens so let me ask, what do you think are the symptoms? Why people are, beside the land, what do you think is why these is becoming more prevalent?
Okay, first I'll say this. Things that draw demons or create a doorway for the demonic presence to come through. First of all, is trauma. So if a person has suffered high-level trauma, and whether that is molestation, rape, you know, being a part of or witnessing a murder or suffering severe beatings or being spiritually attacked, you know, supernaturally attacked by these demons, whatever it is that's created this trauma, the fear coming out from the pineal gland, third eye, draws these demonic entities in like a magnet. So they have something to feed on. So this is why it's so super important for me to create a mindset change in these people, to help them to transition from the fear-based, trauma-based way of living and existing into taking that gigantic leap into faith, strength, and courage. So when we're walking in real faith, strength, and courage, we eliminate the fear. When we eliminate the fear, we kick the devil and his minions right in the teeth, right out of our life. And it's easier said than done. It's a process. So that's part of it. Now, in current times, and this is going to sound crazy, but do the research. You don't have to believe a word I'm saying. Do the research. And I urge anybody out there and everybody out there that's listening to do the research. We have technology now that is just off the charts. It's so far beyond our understanding that it is just silly. And I do believe there is two devices in particular that are opening the door wide for more and more entities, demonic entities, to come on the earth. And one is the CERN device, which is located under the ground in Switzerland near the French Alps. I believe it's a gigantic stargate, and I think that that thing can open portals up, and I believe that it is. And secondly, we have D-Wave quantum computers now, and these things are so far beyond what anybody can imagine, and the capabilities of these things are off the charts. So, and again, I urge people to research this for themselves. If in fact what I'm saying is true, if this CERN device is a stargate or a portal or can open these things, and if these D-Wave computers are working in conjunction with that, then boy, oh boy, some really bad things can happen. And these entities can come through, and they are coming through, and more people who are not even involved with the paranormal or have no interest in the paranormal, are being affected. And people from all walks of life, you guys would be shocked at some of the high profile people that have come to me for help. And so it's really all walks of life, from people that are wealthy and high profile to people who are just everyday regular people. It's just amazing.
So let me ask,
so when you say faith, strength, and courage, having faith in God, being able to watch over you, that kind of thing, right, Bill?
Oh, absolutely. For me, there is no other way. You know, I have to be in what I call warrior mode 24/7. And when we're in warrior mode, we walk in faith, strength, and courage. There is no fear. And when we eliminate that fear, again, we are kicking the devil and his demons right out of our life. They have nothing to feed on. There's nothing that draws them in unless we make bad choices. And look, we're all guilty of something. There's no perfect person that walks the face of this earth. We all make mistakes. But we really need to be very, very careful of the choices that we make, because some of these choices can invite demons into our lives.
Let me ask you, Bill, I live in a basement. It's kind of an apartment basement, and I've mentioned this on the show a couple times, but I wanted to get your opinion on it. And there is one particular part of the basement that I have to walk by that makes me feel really uncomfortable. And what's interesting about it is that they had done some work here on the house where somebody was installing some phone lines. And this is before I moved in, and because I was talking to the homeowner, and she said the guy refused to come back because there was something in that corner, the same corner that I was feeling this uncomfortableness. Like, how does somebody know that might be experiencing something similar, that there's, like, whether or not it's like an evil spirit, a demon, or like, how is somebody able to determine, like, what's going on? Why am I feeling like this?
Well, you're being alerted right now, and that's part of holy discernment. So God gives us all discernment, and it's what I call holy discernment, and that is the inner feelings. And there are certainly angels with us, and the angels do give us a nudge sometimes if something bad is going to happen, or if something bad is, you know, in our presence or whatever. Sounds to me, without truly knowing the answer, just based on what you're saying to me, and I'm kind of getting a visualization of it right now, I think there's a portal there, and I think that portal needs to be closed, and I don't know what has taken place there, but if I were you, I would get someone like me in there ASAP to come in and bind and rebuke and cast out anything that is evil and negative, get it out of there, and then close that portal. Bless the entire home, and bless the property, everything around the home, you know, the property front and back, and just make sure. And that's another thing that I do. You know, the first thing is a land blessing. Make sure that, and I ask God, Yahweh, to send his giant warrior angels to carry off any and every demon that is present in on or around the property, the home, family, pets, whatever it may be, and carry them off and deposit them back in the pits of hell where they belong. It's very essential that we, number one, keep God first, and number two, call on him to help us in this way. And for you, I'm really strongly suggesting that you do that and get somebody in there and just make sure that everything is blessed, have that person. So after I'm done with the deliverance, then I have to go through the entire home. I go through the entire home, even the attic, and I leave no stone unturned because demons hide. So after, you know, the deliverance aspect takes place and the demons have left the person, but they could go and hide, you know, in the house somewhere. So there was a situation one time in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and this was several years ago. A lady was possessed there, and I performed the deliverance, and after it was over with, I went through the house, and this was a good-sized house, and it had a very, the upper part, the third level, had, it was like an attic, but it was like a master bedroom type of thing. So you had, it was a finished attic. It could have been a master bedroom. So I'm going through there, and I came to this one area, which was a dark area by a window, like back in a corner, and sure enough, I was drawn to go right there. And I saw it. There was this black form with red eyes hiding right back in that corner. And so I had a Bible. I think the Bible was in my right hand, and I had a shaker of holy mixture in my left hand. And I said, by the mighty power of Yahweh and his mighty and holy name, in Jesus' name, I bind and rebuke you, foul demon. I command you to depart. I said, you know, in a very loud and authoritative voice. And I threw the shaker, you know, three times, and this thing let out a scream, a screech. I can't even describe it in words, and it was so loud that it rattled the windows, and then it departed.
Wow.
And so, Jason, definitely, if I were you, I would get someone in there ASAP to bless that home and to close all portals.
So this has to be done in person. This cannot, in Jason's case, that cannot be done remotely, correct?
No, it could be done remotely. I do these things remotely as well. I help people from all over the world, so I do Skype sessions with people in other countries. And so, yeah, it could be done remotely.
The thing that makes me nervous is like acknowledging it to me, I'm afraid of giving whatever it is power. Now, there's no history of the house where anything bad had happened, so I guess a portal wouldn't make sense. But whatever it is just seems to stay in that corner. And so
probably where the portal is. Have you heard any popping noises or anything like that?
The only weird thing I hear is something in the walls that sounds like an electronic buzzing. It buzzes four times and never does it at the exact same time, but it's usually at 1, 2, 3 in the morning, and I have no idea what it is. It's really strange.
It could be, you know, whomever these entities are coming and going, and if you start to hear popping noises, that means that the portal opens, and then when it closes, it's the air, and it creates a loud pop. And
wow,
that will alert you that that will alert you that they are present. But I don't feel good about it right now. And if I were you, you know, again, please deal with that situation and don't show any fear whatsoever. I could send you some prayers after the show. I can email you if you'll send me your email address. I can email you 2 very powerful prayers to say every day. I say them, and I will say them for the rest of my life. One is a spiritual warfare prayer, and the other is a daily declaration of victory. I declare victory in each and every day. Does it mean my life is perfect? No, but my life is very good and very blessed. And so in declaring victory, I refuse to lose. And why do I refuse to lose? Because God is first in my life. And if God is first in my life, and if God is with me and for me, then nothing can stand against me. So that is how I live my life each and every day, and I will continue to do so for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I'll send you my email.
That's how I feel, too.
We do have a caller that's been patiently waiting. I don't know if they have a question or not. Do you want to take a question from a caller?
Sure.
Caller, you're live on Paranormal Horizons with Bill Bean.
Hi, how you doing, Pastor Bill?
Hi, how are you?
Well, I like to know, you know, you're in warrior mode. Do you have a team of intercessors that pray for you?
Well, I do have, I wouldn't say that it's a team, but then again, it's a lot of people, because if you visit my Facebook pages, you see nothing but prayers for people. So some of those people pray for me as well, and it's much appreciated. And I thank God and praise God for that, and I thank them. So, yeah, it's great to have people out there that care and pray. And we know that the power of prayer is definitely heard by our glorious God. So we thank God and praise God for it.
And another thing, I know I sent you a tweet praying for you someday that you would go to Russia, because I have a friend who works for the Ministry of Health, and they did a report, and they're finding out there's a lot of exorcisms and a lot of demonic activity, and a lot of these demonic activities are around these Lenin and Stalin bust carves that are still left over from old communist days. And,
I wouldn't doubt that for a second. I wouldn't doubt it. And I also help some soldiers that have come back from tours of Iraq and Afghanistan. I just was in Seattle last week helping a soldier. He was a sniper. And a very dangerous situation, because he came under demonic attack and was in and out of heavy demonic oppression leading into possession. And he had 10 weapons in the house. It was a very, very risky situation. God worked through me to help him, and I praise God for it. But I have dealt with several soldiers who came back from tours of Iraq and Afghanistan that were seeing demons over there and having supernatural experiences while over there. So I wouldn't doubt it for a second what you're saying.
Well, and there's one more thing. In my house, like in my bedroom, it's like nothing's in the house. And I went on the side of the house. I got no branches scraping. I got no holes where animals go in. But sometimes I would hear scratching on the outside of my house. And sometimes on a cold night or any night, I would smell I would have the smell of dead carcass. And then it was tapped.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. And when you do you have the prayers? Do you have those powerful prayers that I post them sometimes on Facebook, and they're also on my website, BillBean.net or BillBeanMinistries.com. It'll say click on powerful prayers, and the 2 prayers are there. And whenever something like that occurs, just say that spiritual warfare prayer and be authoritative and be strong in it and have that kind of faith and knowing that God is there and God is sending angels there, and bind and rebuke that garbage and ask God to have his giant warrior angels carry it off at the positive back in the pits of hell where it belongs.
Well, what do you think about smudging sage?
I'm not a fan of it, to be honest with you. I'm not a fan of it. I tend to stick with more biblical fragrances like frankincense, things of that nature. So for me, that's how I would go about it. And I use a combination of holy oil, holy water, and holy salt as well.
Well, what about if I go like with olive oil, go anoint the four corners of my property?
You can do it, but say a blessing over that olive oil before you do it. So you could say, now if it were me, I would say, Father, by your mighty power and your mighty and holy name in Jesus' name, I declare this oil to be blessed, sealed, sanctified, purified, cleansed, and made holy before you. Peace is upon it, and peace shall remain forevermore in Jesus' name.
Like I say, it hasn't gotten a house, but like I say, the area where I live in Texas is where the original 300 original Texans came for. And I live on old Comanche land, so it's a terrible.
Yeah, I would definitely say a blessing, you know, in your home and on your property as well. And as part of the, if you email me, I'll send you the land blessing that I do and the house blessing as well.
Well, thank you, Pastor, for your time.
God bless you, and if I can ever be of help and service, please don't hesitate to contact me.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Jason.
Oh, no, go ahead.
We live in a time now where it is essential to be in this warrior mode. Seriously, we are in a time like no other. And knowledge is power, and power achieved is power perceived. And power perceived is power achieved. And so, in saying that, we have to thirst for knowledge. And our eyes have to be open because so many things are going on around us. And people are asleep. It just seems like the masses are asleep. And so we have to have our eyes wide open. We have to be awake. And that starts with God. So this is really a time like no other. And it is necessary for us to walk in this type of faith, strength, and courage in order for God to bless us and in order for him to keep his favor and protection on us and over us. If we do this,
we will
walk in the order
that,
of David.
Use tarot cards or use pendulums and, you know, crystals and things like that.
Well, again, I love everybody, and I won't criticize anybody, but that's not for me. That's not the way that I go about things. And so my whole approach is God first and the power of God working through me. And so that makes me armed and dangerous. And I thank God and praise God for that. And again, it is his power. It is not my power. So I totally rely on him.
I totally understand what you say. People are distracted, especially with social media and technology. I mean, even just before the show, I have the Oculus Rift, which is the, you know, the virtual reality headset. And, you know, I'm playing games on it, trying to be, you know, I'm trying to block out all this stuff in the real world and distract myself. And everyone, it seems like the majority of the people out there are just distracted in some way and not really being perceptive of some of the things that are happening behind the scenes.
And that's by design, Jason, because the devil is in the details in this, and you got to think about this. Why would people have these distractions like this? Well, it's very simple. The devil deals in bully tactics, but his MO also is divide and conquer. So if you get people distracted, then you can get them divided. And if you get them divided, it's a lot easier to conquer the people when they're divided and not standing together, as opposed to us being united and standing together and saying enough is enough. So that's what my hope and dream is coming up here in the very near future, is that people from all backgrounds will realize that we are all children of God. We are we have been given this gift of life, because life is a gift, and we should thank God and praise God each and every day for the gift of life. And we are not promised tomorrow, so we need to make the most of each and every day of this wonderful gift of life. And certainly one of my dreams is to bring people together so that we can be strengthened as a people, as God's children, to move forward in peace, freedom, and victory, and eliminate a lot of this garbage that is taking place in our country and in our world these days. And the devil is in the details of all this stuff, because the agenda is to divide and conquer.
Gosh, that makes so much sense.
Especially when the world of politics, you see, and you know, the relationships between the other countries, it just seems like we're constantly bombarded with wars and drama and distraction. And so I totally get what you're saying with that.
Yeah, it's all part of the plan. So what we need to do is we need to have our eyes wide open, and we need to seek the truth. So for me, I'm a truth seeker. So I seek the truth. So I learn the truth and know the truth and speak the truth and teach the truth. The truth is the truth, and there is no substitute for the truth. Any substitute for the truth is a lie. So if we can thirst for knowledge and seek the truth and walk in that truth, nothing can happen, because God is with us and for us, and he will keep us galvanized against any of this garbage that is taking place. And furthermore, when more people buy into that and join into that, that becomes something very, very powerful. And the blessing continues to become more powerful. The more people that join into something like that, God's favor and power and blessing just is off the charts. So that's what I hope. I want to see a movement like that take place, and I pray that it will start very, very soon.
So when you have these things happening with your family, did it follow you, Bill? How were you able to stop it? What did you do when this was continuing?
The most recent thing that took place on Friday?
Oh, no, I'm talking about as you were growing up. And I want to talk about that, too. But, yeah, when you were growing up, how did you get rid of it? Did you do anything? Did it follow you? What happened?
What happened was I engaged in my first battle against these demonic forces at the age of 13, and it happened right after my mother was attacked. And at that point in time, we had a Catholic priest involved for the last 16 months that we lived there. Now, my family and I are not Catholic, but my step-grandfather was, and he went to his church, and my mother's stepfather. And they sent out a priest, which I was, to this day, I'm very, very thankful to Monsignor Hour, you know, coming out and being involved with us in that way. But we couldn't be helped in the sense that we were so just taken over. And all of us were under heavy demonic oppression. We were all in the fear-based, trauma-based way of thinking. And then we became very robotic and zombie-like, and we started to expect these things to happen. So you start to take it in stride. It's like being prisoners in a POW camp. You know, it's just like you expect bad things to happen, and bad things do happen, and then you just take it in stride and wait for the next thing. And so that's how it was for the longest of times, until I stood up one day after seeing my mother picked up by an invisible force and hurled through the air across her bedroom. She was picked up by the back of her neck and thrown through the air, and she landed into her makeup table, and she was cut open and scratched and bruised, and something inside of me snapped. And all of those years of abuse and being in fear suddenly transformed into rage. And I call it holy anger. And I ended up grabbing a Bible. And at this point, the priest was bringing mason jars full of holy water to the house. So I grabbed a mason jar full of holy water and a Bible, and I began to call these things out. Now, where I made my mistake, and again, I was 13 years old. I had never done this before, but I was in such a rage at seeing what had just happened to my mother that I was certain I didn't care anymore. And instead of calling them out, I should have been binding them and casting them out. But I called them out, demanded them to show themselves, and it was like a scene from a horror film. The house started vibrating, things were falling off the walls, doors were opening and slamming. I was 13, and I had five adults with me, and they were terrified. I should have been terrified as well, but I was not. And at one point, four entities did appear several feet in front of me in the living room, and the adults were standing behind me, and they appeared in like greenish, yellowish beams of light. It's like a scene from Star Trek, and we saw them clearly. I mean, they saw them also, and I saw them clearly probably for 2 or 3 seconds, and then they just began to dissipate. And when they dissipated, all the chaotic activity that was taking place in the house subsided. And then we went, at that point in time, my mother had a new man in her life named Richard, and he was with her for the last few years of her life. And so we ended up going to his house. And it wasn't long after that that we were finally forced to move out because every electrical appliance burned up all at once on the same day. And then one of my brother's pets was found dead in the house. And so that was enough for my mother finally, because we were all under this demonic oppression for so long that the most frequently asked question was, why did you stay? Well, my mother was a very proud and private woman, and she's not going to be a burden to anyone. My grandmother, her mom, lived in a one-bedroom apartment with, you know, her husband, my mother's stepfather, and she was not going to be a burden to them. And then my mother's sister had 8 children and a husband, so there was nowhere for us to go. We didn't have money to go anywhere. And furthermore, coming under that type of demonic oppression and control for so long kept us right where the devil wanted us. So, and then shortly after that, 2 tragedies occurred. My beloved grandmother, Dora Harvey, died from a sudden series of heart attacks. And then 2 months later, my beloved mother, Patricia Bean, died from a cerebral hemorrhage at the age of 44. So they were the 2 closest people to me in my life. They were suddenly gone. And boy, oh boy, did that have a negative adverse effect on me to the point where I didn't want to live anymore. So that's a whole other story. And I know we're running out of time. And I would love to come back with you for part 2 to finish up and then maybe go into what has taken place here most recently. But it's just an amazing story, and I recommend that for anyone out there who is interested, you know, in what I'm saying here and the story, visit BillBean.net or BillBeanMinistries.com, and you can purchase copies of Dark Forest, and my second book is called Delivered, and the third book is called 10 Steps to Victory, and I offer that as a free download. So if you visit my sites, you can just click on that, and it's a YouTube video. It's a free download, and that's my way of giving back because I want everybody to be happy and healthy and moving forward and having victory in their life, and certainly I don't want anyone to have to deal with this kind of garbage.
Well, Bill, yeah,
amazing
we're just
what
about
kind of
out of time.
You do for humanity itself, and that was a calling. That's your calling.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah.
And we are definitely going to have to set another date and finish up on a part 2. And I thank you both very much for having me on, and God bless you guys and your families, and look forward to the next time.
Thank
Absolutely,
you so much
Bill.
For
thanks
your
for
time,
coming
Bill.
On.
I know you're. Your time is, you know, in the East Coast, so you're a couple, 2 or 3 hours ahead of us. So I thank you for just staying up and being able to just share with our listeners about your experiences and what they can learn from what you've gone through.
Well, thank you guys again. It's been an honor and a pleasure. Look forward to the next time, and let's make the next time not as long as the previous.
I hope so. That would be great.
Jason, please send me an email, and I'll have your email address, and I'll send those prayers over to you. And if I can help you in any way, I certainly will.
I'll absolutely do that tonight. I'll send it to you via Facebook, and I appreciate your help.
Okay, guys. God bless you both.
Yes, God bless to you, too. Wow, that was awesome. Hey, Jason, next week we're going to have we're going to have Angie Pennington. She's going to be a new guest. We're going to talk about Ayurvedic horoscopes. So that's going to be a new twist in regular, instead of Chinese horoscope or regular horoscope, She's going to cover Ayurvedic. It's Eastern Indian horoscope. So I'm really excited to have her on the show and something new to learn and just share with our audience.
Absolutely. Sounds exciting, and I always find horoscopes fascinating. So very interesting.
Yeah, there is some truth to it. I don't hold it too much, there's some generalities, but there's so many, it becomes very complicated, so complicated. And the following week we'll have Stan Gordon from Pennsylvania. So he's another guy that's been around for a long time, and we're going to have him back after about, how long it's been? About, 4 or 5 months or so. So, yeah, he's been on Coast to Coast AM. He's had his own show, and it's just phenomenal. So we've just been very, very blessed to get these guests. And look on our Facebook page. I'm featuring a photo behind the voices of our special guests. They're one of the finest in their field of expertise, and I'm just really very delighted and very, very pleased to share their photos, and you get to see who they look like.
Yeah, I saw that. That's great, being able to put faces to the guests. It's exciting. So,
well, they need to be acknowledged, and we thank them, and so does our radio shows, too. So.
Yep. So, yeah, I want to thank our listeners and KITC-FM and KNCP in Central Oregon, which the show will be rebroadcast. And unless you have anything else, Sherry, I thought we would close the show with a Bill Bean promo I made a couple years ago. And, yeah.
All right. Happy anniversary. I'm coming up at 2 years.
Yeah, I know. Time flies.
Oh, my gosh. Time flies. Yes, definitely. We're going to have to go and get together and perhaps get together with James Cloud and get together and do an investigation. That'd be so cool.
That would be fun. So with that, I hope everybody has a great week, and we'll see everybody next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time. And again, I'll close with a Bill Bean promo, and we'll see everybody then. Good night, everyone.
Take care. Peace.
Hi, this is Bill Bean, the spiritual warrior, deliverance minister, exorcist, star of House of the Dead, author of Dark Force. For more info and updates, please visit www.billjbean.com. And if anyone out there is in need of spiritual assistance, I'll stand for you.